Welcome to the Besties with Breasties podcast. Sarah Hall here. I am a certified health and wellness coach, athletic trainer, mom, and breast cancer survivor. I help women overcome their own mind drama to make mind shifts that open up the possibility for their most empowered and energetic life.
And I am Beth Wilmus, author, speaker, and founder of a human investment organization, otherwise known as a nonprofit, called Faith Through Fire. Our mission is to reduce the fear and anxiety that breast cancer patients feel and replace it with hope and a path toward thriving.
This podcast is about our experiences with breast cancer
and life after as young survivors and moms.
Let's do it.
I'm getting squirrely. I need some sleep.
I know.
Oh, God. Well, we just got done wrapping up an episode about change and why change is so hard and how we can kind of start getting comfortable with being uncomfortable. And so it's all about sacrificing the comfort of now for the promise of achieving the future that you want, which I think is, you know, that's the tough part. We're like a society of instant gratification now. Right? So this idea of delaying that gratification for the long haul is just getting harder and harder, I think. So, okay. When you want to make a change, whether that be like lose weight, eat better, exercise more, be more present in your life, I don't think it's about that actual act. I think it all starts with developing discipline. And that's what leads to sustainability. It's what's there when motivation isn't. And you and I have had some debate about that.
Indeed.
But I don't think without discipline, you can make permanent changes. So today we're going to talk about where in your life you lack discipline.
And we're going to talk about how to establish discipline when conditions aren't ideal.
Yeah. And then we're just going to kind of end on why consistency is more important than being perfect.
Ugh, that's such an important concept.
Right?
Yes. But before we do that, let's hear from our first sponsor.
Ann's Bra Shop features skilled mastectomy fitters ready to assist you in selecting the perfect breast forms, bras, swimsuits, and camisoles for your post-surgery needs. They have three locations in the St. Louis area: Chesterfield in Wentzville, Missouri, across the river in O'Fallon, Illinois, and a fourth location south on I-55 in Cape Girardeau. Visit Ann's Bra Shop at www.brashop.com to learn more. Okay, and we're back. Do you have an area of your life where you feel like you lack discipline?
Yeah.
Short answer, yes, ma'am.
Yes. I think it's the perfectionist in me that's like, you could be better at creating consistency within your working out. And you, there's opportunity for you to be better about creating consistency within your eating. You know, I think there's always opportunity. But that, I think, is just my personality.
My big lack of discipline is that at the very most basic level, I don't like doing things I don't want to do.
Like, it's so true for you.
I just do not. I will procrastinate and put off anything that I don't find enjoyable. And that's it.
I think that's everybody. Don't you think?
Yeah, but there's people like yourself that seem to, you almost beat yourself up over not being disciplined enough, whereas I'm more just,
nope,
I
mean, not doing it.
For me, discipline is very, I have to make it enjoyable to help me become, but yeah, I just don't like doing things I don't want to do.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, you're right. That might be a lot of people listening, which is why we're going to talk about it. So for me, it becomes more about how do you establish discipline when the conditions aren't ideal? Because that's going to be the situation. A lot of the changes I want to make to my diet, to my exercise, I'd say I struggle the most with exercise. It's easier for me to make changes to my diet or my interpersonal relationships or my work. But it's
because those things really feed you.
Yeah, I just don't find them as hard.
Oh, interesting.
The thing that I find really hard is exercising. And it's weird because when I was younger, I didn't feel that way. I enjoyed exercise. It was something that I looked forward to. I got something from it. Now it just feels like I have to, not I want to.
Well, I'm glad you call it exercise and not working out, because that does, it's harder to wrap your mind around working out.
Oh, yeah, exercise or movement. I mean, I can, and it really is different too. I can walk every morning for 2 miles. And that's, for me, I've paired that with something enjoyable, listening to my favorite podcast. So I can do that and I can maintain that discipline. What I don't like to do, even though I know that I need to for my physical health, is weightlift. And so I still haven't quite figured out how to be disciplined in that area. So right now I work out with a trainer one day a week and she makes me do it for 50 minutes and I have to fight the urge every single week to cancel on her. And that's and I don't go beyond that one day a week. Ideally, I would like to work up to 3 days a week. But right now, I know it's everything I can do to just show up once.
Does something feel more important than that?
Everything feels more important than that.
Oh.
But I know logically, as a survivor and just somebody who's in her 40s, who wants to live a long, healthy life, that weightlifting is necessary for me to reach those goals. So, you know, I logically know that I need to do these things. I just don't want to. And I feel like, so here's the thing. How do you establish discipline when the conditions aren't ideal? And so for me, I practice delayed gratification. So for example, I cannot have my coffee until I walk 2 miles in the morning.
Perfect.
The coffee is the reward. That's what, you know, and when I do my walk, I make the walk rewarding by listening to my podcast.
So you've stacked lots of habits there.
I have, because I think that's critical in making it to where it's not so miserable that you won't do it. You know, I can't scroll my social media until I get all the tasks on my to-do list done.
Smart.
I won't work in the off hours until my kids are in bed for the night. Because otherwise I'll ignore my kids.
Totally.
You know, so I've had to put all these things. So it's practicing delayed gratification, which I think as a society is just something that we've gotten worse and worse at. How do we, and we talked about this in a previous episode, how do we respond when things threaten to derail us?
Right.
You just talked to me the other day about, oh, I have this project I really want to tackle and I just need a week to tackle it. But every time I do, my phone's blowing up and I get distracted.
Or the little mundane tasks, the to-dos. Yeah.
Right. So it's like, what are you going to have to do to make sure that your phone isn't in?
Well, it takes a lot of intentionality to make sure that I can set myself up to actually complete that.
Right.
Yeah.
So all the conditions have to be just right.
Yeah.
But like, what if they're not right?
Then that project ain't gonna get
done. That's the part that makes it hard. Yeah. It's like, we're operating from this stance of all the conditions have to be perfect for this to work.
Yeah.
And we're living in a world where none of the conditions are perfect.
Yeah. Well, I think that it's also a factor of just so much that comes at us. And I'm not just talking about like you and I, but I think in general, I think about the conversations I have with most other mothers. What I hear a lot, because I find working out and exercise and movement so important, what I hear a lot is like, well, I don't have time. And how do you make time in for that? Because I'm always running to soccer and I'm always doing this and I'm always doing that.
It's lack of discipline.
Yeah. And I think it's like you've not prioritize. Like if it's not important enough for you to try to figure out how to get that in, then discipline or no discipline, you might be like, I really need to get that in, but you're just going to make an excuse for it all day long
because you're not motivated.
Right.
That's why you have to cultivate the discipline and the motivation comes later. I have talked about this. I have had to switch my mindset from I have to I get to.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, it's like a chore in my brain.
Right.
So instead of saying, I have to go lift weights. And, you know, this is relevant to breast cancer patients or cancer patients in general, because, and we've talked about this before, but when I was on the Red Devil chemo and I got fatigued literally folding laundry, I would have to take a break in the middle of folding laundry because I was so fatigued. And I just remember thinking, I am going to be so grateful when this is over and I can fold laundry, you know, and feel good about it. And then, you know, the further out from treatment you are, you forget those things.
Yeah.
And you go right back to resenting the pile of laundry that's constantly on my couch because my kids just throw clean clothes in the dirty all the time. But if you can shift that mindset back to I have to I get to.
Yeah.
That's a trick, right? Yeah. So I practice delayed gratification. Yeah. I don't reward myself until I do the thing. I also say I get to instead of I have to. And I try to remind myself that it's a blessing to lift the weights.
Yeah.
That if I was so sick I couldn't lift the weights, I would be missing it.
Yeah.
You know, so that's a tool that I use. I find ways to make it enjoyable. What I talked about, listening to my favorite podcast or book on tape while I walk, making sure I get my coffee when I get back, providing visual cues of progress, I think is super important. Some people, this doesn't work for me. I'll be curious to know if it, do you mark a calendar when you do a habit a certain amount of days in a row?
Well,
do you have anything
specifically to my working out? I'm on an app that tracks how many times I work out, and I earn badges if I work out specific number of times a month, and they offer incentives. And I guess, and it seems so silly. I've talked about this with my husband because he's literally, you have to get in a workout every single Monday for an entire year and you earn one virtual badge. It really seems ridiculous and silly. I'm over halfway into this year and or like over halfway into this cycle. It's every 6 months. And I'm like, I don't want to not get it. Mm-hmm. You know, and it doesn't need to be this crazy incentive reward, but I can go in and they also give you on the app I'm on, they send you a free sweatshirt when you hit 75 workouts, and then you get another incentive when you hit 365. And then my friend who I do this with also, she's almost reached 1,000. It's small little things, but you know, I think that it does provide a little bit of an incentive when you can actually see it.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, I think there's something to it. I had read or listened to somebody that talked about, and I'm actually doing this now and I really like it. So we all have those tasks that we don't want to do. They put 5 paper cups or paper clips in a cup, and then they have another cup, an empty cup. And every time they do the thing that they don't want to do, they move the paper clip over to the other cup.
Yeah.
So let's just say, you know, for work, I have to make 5 phone calls that I'm dreading making.
Mm-hmm.
Every time I make one of those phone calls, I take a paper clip and I put it in the other cup. And it's mm-hmm. like that visual progress
yeah.
that shows you you're doing the things that you need to do.
Yeah.
There is something to that, being able to see, because you don't always feel the progress. You got to see the progress.
Yeah. Well, I think that's why to-do lists work.
Right.
And I categorize my to-do list based on these are in this bucket of, you know, this is marketing tasks, this is, you know, operational tasks. And then I always put my big tasks in a box down on the corner. When I can actually cross something out from that one, like mm-hmm. it feels really good.
Yeah, there's something really rewarding about crossing it off the list. Yeah. You know, you need those visual cues, but all this stuff is just about discipline's really hard to cultivate, and there are tools in order to help you develop that mm-hmm. discipline. You don't have to do it on your own. It's not willpower. Let's put it that way. Willpower, and that goes back to the whole motivation thing.
Mm-hmm.
You only have, scientists, I think, have actually said you only have so much willpower in a day.
Yeah.
So when that willpower, I mean, I've seen that work firsthand in my life. Like if I'm presented with a bunch of junk food throughout an entire day, you know, I'm at a barbecue,
mm-hmm.
I might do real good at saying no all day long. And then at the very end when I'm tired and I'm hot and there's only chips out on the table.
Have you ever read the book by Brian Tracy, Eat the Frog?
Oh, I'm sure I have, because that sounds super familiar. I read all those books.
I mean, I think it speaks to this, but I
do read the hardest thing first.
Do the hardest thing first. I'm curious because I feel like I've read it and I was like, I mean, I get that concept. That totally makes sense. But do you follow that?
No.
Okay.
No. I don't think most people do.
Yeah. I think it's a difficult discipline to adopt because I like to see, I get a few easy wins first and then I can tackle my big project.
Have you read the book Make Your Bed? Okay, so it's this general, this very esteemed general, uh-huh. I think is his title, but he gave a commencement speech that basically, I don't know if he wrote the book first or did the speech first, but he tells this whole graduating class, when you wake up in the morning, the first thing you do is make your bed because that is your first task of the day. Yeah. And by completing something simple, it sets your mind up for success for other things. And I think that that seems valid. Instead of doing the hardest thing, you start with the light. Yeah. You know, it's the same thing with my walk. Walking around the neighborhood for 2 miles is not hard.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I try to make it enjoyable
mm-hmm.
and I reward myself when I do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have to start with something that you can easily accomplish, that makes you feel a sense of accomplishment so that you feel motivated to keep going with other things.
I will say over time, because I adopted that for a long time, I never made my bed until I one day was just like, I'm tired of coming home and just feeling ugh because mm-hmm. my bed, I don't walk in here and this is my calm, happy space. Mm. But over time, like making my bed, I think it's a habitual habit, but I no longer get that sense of I've already done something because I made my bed. You know,
it's just part of your habit now.
Yeah, I think over time though, like, and not that you have to continue to add on and add it on, but over time, the make your bed concept is, I don't know.
Wouldn't that be a sign though that it's going well?
Oh, yeah. I'm not saying it's not going well.
Yeah, no, but I'm saying like then you find something else to do.
Yeah.
You know, that's when you move on. That's when you know, okay, I'm nailing the bed thing. Now, yes. Now I need to make sure that my bathroom counter is cleared off every day before I leave for the house, you know, that kind of thing. Yeah. So, okay. Well, before we kind of talk about consistency over perfection, do you want to do Boobs in the News?
Yes.
Boobs in the News is a fun segment where we read funny tweets by real people or ridiculous news stories.
Boobs in the News. Boobs in the News. Boobs in the News.
All right. This says Madonna fan earns world record with 18 tattoos of the singer.
Oh, why?
This
has nothing to do with me having tattoos.
No, like, I'm just saying, but like you're, that are silly. Yeah. A devoted pop music fan paid tribute to her favorite artist by getting a record-breaking 18 tattoos of Madonna on her body. It says she's in Topeka, Kansas. She earned the Guinness World Record for the most tattoos of the same musician on the body, taking the title from British woman Nikki Patterson, who has 15 tattoos of the rapper Eminem. What?
I would never. I like tattoos, but I would never tattoo anyone else's face on my body.
Right.
Never.
Right. Especially, so it says...
Well, okay, so I do think Post Malone has all these really... He's got Johnny Cash and I think maybe James Dean and other, like, influential people from history all on his knuckles.
How do you fit those people in your knuckles?
I don't... They're tiny little portraits. They're really... The only reason why I know this is because Eric went as Ghost Malone for Halloween.
Oh, my...
And we did all his tattoos.
Who's the artist that was able to tattoo that on a knuckle? That sounds like, really, you'd have to be super talented.
I mean, you're Post Malone. You get the best artists out there.
So this girl, Tara Berry, who's from Kansas, said she got her first Madonna tattoo in 2016 when she heard the singer was looking for tattooed fans to appear in a music video. But she wasn't done with the tattoo in time to make the final cut. It says most of the tattoos were over a 6-month period. I already had 2 Madonna portrait tattoos when I read about the person that had the record for the title with 15 Eminem tattoos. I just decided that night I was going to go for the record. I mean,
there are some very interesting Guinness World Records out there.
So she
the longest fingernails.
I know. She actually turned the tattoos. They span the singer's entire career. And she even included a recreation of the famous kiss between herself and Madonna and Britney Spears, which I'm like, who wants that on their body? No, no. Many, many people ask if they can take pictures and videos of my arms. I'm happy to oblige. She said the tattoos cost about $9,800. I begged, borrowed, worked out deals, anything to move forward with the process. Wow. This is like important to her.
She had discipline.
She did. She clearly didn't lack discipline when it came to getting her Madonna
and motivation.
Tattoos. My gosh. Out of all the artists.
I know. That's interesting.
What do you think it feels like as a celebrity to know that there's somebody out there?
It would feel very weird.
I would think it would be really... I think celebrity in itself is just...
Yeah, I could never do
strange.
It.
But to know that there's strangers out there wearing you all over their body,
mm-mm.
It feels weird, right?
Mm-mm.
Do you know, I would freak out if I met somebody and they're like, look, I got a tattoo of your face on my leg. Like, what did you do?
I think I would puke.
Doesn't that make you feel weird?
That makes me feel very weird. I mean, no.
Mm-mm. I just can't imagine it. Okay, well, I'm sorry. There's your boobs.
Yeah.
Boobs in the News. Boobs in the News. Boobs in the News.
Okay, and we're back. So, consistency over perfection. Can we talk about this?
It's so important.
I mean, how many people quit because they didn't do it just right?
Yeah.
Compound interest, people. It can be positive or negative, right? When you're doing something, it doesn't, you know, hurt or help you right then and there. Mm-hmm. That's that whole delayed gratification. But over time, mm-hmm. it will.
And this is where the steps from the last episode sort of come in. If you notice that you weren't perfect, if you go about trying it the exact same way,
you're going to repeat the same mistake.
You might repeat the same mistake. So try to figure out what didn't go well.
Yeah. How can you tweak it to where it's something that's more manageable, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know, how do we combat this whole need for perfectionism? Because you've said you struggle with that. I should have done it better this way. Mm-hmm. I could have done it. I think that focusing only on the day at hand is like key. You can't let past slip-ups or future anxiety keep you from being disciplined today.
Yeah.
I just don't think about what happened yesterday, and I don't think about what's going to happen mm-hmm. tomorrow. I literally have control over today.
And what tends to happen a lot is that people will mess up on a Monday night And then they just are like, well, I messed up on Monday night and the rest of the week, I'll just start over again next Monday.
Yeah.
So then you've now given up 6 days that had the opportunity to be good or better or in line with what you want. And because of one decision you made on Monday.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, that's that whole compounded interest again. You made one mistake and now you're going to make 6 more.
Right.
Yeah. That's a negative pattern. You got to avoid that. I think to that point, you got to bounce back quickly when you have a bad day.
Mm-hmm.
And that goes back to don't focus on what happened yesterday. Don't focus about what's going to happen tomorrow. Focus on today and what you can do today. But avoiding short-term impulses and distractions is helpful.
Mm-hmm.
The question is, how do you do that? Coach,
how do you do that?
I mean, for me, I know certain things are going to trigger me. I don't go to the grocery store when I'm hungry.
Yeah, that is smart for every person to know,
right?
Mm-hmm.
I know that it's not an optimal time to work on my computer when my kids are home.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you have to just start identifying what distractions and short-term impulses you're at risk for.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, it's the typical avoidance thing. Don't bring the food in the house, because if it's in the house, I'm going to have a hard time avoiding it. If it's not here, mm-hmm. I know I'm too lazy to get in my car and go to the gas station.
Right.
It's just about putting these processes in place. So wouldn't you say up until this point, analyze what you want to change.
Mm-hmm.
Figure out a process,
mm-hmm.
avoid unnecessary distractions mm-hmm. or impulses, evaluate, and start again.
Correct.
Yeah?
Yeah.
It's easy, people. We're all doing it because it's so freaking easy to develop discipline and to identify the habits we want to change. The whole reason, though, that this is like in our Preventing Recurrence series is that it's super important.
It is.
We can't...
Everything that we're going to talk about for the rest of the series really can fall back onto these episodes, because if we're going to talk about, I mean, we're having a guest on to talk about blood sugar. That is, for many, going to cause questions of, you know, should I change a behavior? We're going to be talking about sleep. We're going to be talking about trauma and resolved trauma, unresolved trauma. And all of those things really usually point back to something that is going to lead to a lifestyle change or a mindset change.
Even
mindset changes fall under discipline. Because if you notice that you're having consistent thought patterns that are destructive or negative, that also is a change.
Yeah. We're not just talking about lifestyle, like eating and diet.
It doesn't have to be an
action. Like that. No.
Yeah. It could be, every time I go into work, I am thinking about how much I want to quit on my way in, or I'm thinking about how much I hate my coworker, or I'm thinking about, you know, I don't know, any kind of thought patterns that are destructive that don't make you feel good. You can change that, but you also have to use the steps and the discipline, you know, that we've outlined in the last 2 episodes.
Yeah. And we can't do it for you. I mean, Sarah and I talked about this. We know it's important as survivors. It's very, very important. We've lost the luxury of being ambivalent about these things. We have to make changes. I mean, we just do. And that's a miss in the medical community. They're not telling us this. They're not being firm and saying you've kind of reached catastrophic levels. You have to make changes to your lifestyle, but that's where we're at.
Yeah.
But we can't want it for you. You have to want it. And that's a process, and everybody's timeline looks different.
Yeah.
But you can start the work because simply by thinking about it.
Yeah.
If you're starting from square one, you feel overwhelmed. The very first step is to start thinking about it and then go from there. So, I mean, I kind of feel like that was our final words, but we have to do a second sponsor.
We could end on a second sponsor.
Okay. Here's your second sponsor.
Thrivent is a proud sponsor of Faith Through Fire. Thrivent believes money is a tool and not a goal. The Gateway Financial Group with Thrivent is local to the St. Louis area and can work with you to create a financial strategy that reflects your priorities and helps you protect the things that matter to you, like family and giving back. Please call 314-783-4214 to schedule a free consultation with one of Thrivent's Gateway Financial Advisors.
And we're back. We realized that we needed to say goodbye. So
it's like a phone call that we're just like, click.
My father-in-law does that. He doesn't say goodbye.
He just hangs up. Oh, that's
when he's
so unresolved. I know.
Well, I was like, well, we have to come back and say goodbye.
I know.
Final words, people. You can do it. We're here to help.
Yes.
Bye. Until next time. Bye. Thank you for being a listener of the Besties with Breasties podcast. If this podcast had a positive impact on your journey, leave us a review or consider becoming a supporter. You can donate with the link in the show notes or at faiththroughfire.org. This episode was hosted by Sarah Hall and Beth Wilmes, audio and production edits by Innovative Frequencies.